Good morning, Boker Tov, Buenos Dias, Sabah Alecher. This is Shanna Fold here from Tel Aviv with the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm here to give you the daily headlines so you can get caught up quickly. Today is Thursday, July 9th, 2020, which means we have a special report at the end of this show. We'll hear from a guest who's been all around the world. He lives a dream that many of us only imagine. This podcast has been recorded at 8:55 a.m. Israel time. My name is Shanna Fold. You may know me from my nighttime writing days at New York One in New York City, or my field reports and anchoring at ILTV in Tel Aviv and Israel Now News in Jerusalem. I'm also the host of the Sunset Series, a weekly Monday night happy hour talk series. First up, I'll give you three stories for news and politics, and then get to money and culture, followed by our special report. This is a big deal. Israel reportedly sent Hamas a new proposal for a prisoner swap. Apparently, a third party was the one to relay the offer over the last few weeks. Israel is waiting to hear back from the Palestinian terror group regarding the proposal. Now, this story, which I read in the Times of Israel, also had stitches of Ynet reporting in there. It's a very bare-boned story. There's not a lot of meat to it, but it is important to note that the last time Israel offered a prisoner swap was in 2011. So that was 9 years ago, and it was for the release of Gilad Shalit, an Israeli soldier who was kidnapped in 2006. 1,027 Palestinians who were in prison serving time for acts of terror were released to get him back. That was one Israeli. Prime Minister Netanyahu last week said Israel is still working to get the bodies back of two Israeli service members who were killed in the Gaza Strip 6 years ago. This is very controversial in the Jewish world. This is an ugly story, but if you closely follow Israel news, you'll know the name Malka Leifer. She was the headmistress of a Jewish school in Australia, and she's been going through a long roller coaster of a trial for allegedly sexually abusing three young girls who were her students at the school. Well, Leifer fled to Israel in 2008 after being indicted on 74 counts of rape and sexual assault. She is now trying to appeal an Israeli court ruling that she is, in fact, mentally fit to stand trial. In May, Israel ruled her mentally fit, gave a new court date of July 20th, and now she is appealing that ruling, and her lawyers are also trying to delay her extradition. So that's the latest from that trial. If you live here in Israel, you know that receiving mail can be cause for a celebration. Well, the Israeli government is working to approve a reform that would ask citizens to give the Interior Minister their cell phone number and email address in order to improve postal delivery. It comes in the form of an addendum to the annual state budget and will need an amendment to the population registry law. Here's how it would work, according to Haaretz, who got a draft. Anyone who goes into the population registry, like to issue a new passport, for example, would be required to share their information, but will not be punished if the person refuses to give that information. Public offices like the military, police, Knesset, will all have access to it. I decided to pick up this story this morning because I recently waited a few months for a package to come to me from my mother. She sent it to me from the United States. I did not get anything. I didn't get a letter. I got nothing. So I went to the post office, and sure enough, using the tracking number, they picked it up out of the barrel. And you know what the woman said to me? She said, "Why didn't you write your phone number on the package so that we could call you and let you know that it's here?" Well, because that's not how the mail works in most places, but okay. My package had been waiting for me about 3 weeks, and there had been nothing sent to me at my apartment, and I did not even know that it was there. So hopefully this will help us in the future. I am going to move into the money and culture section, which unfortunately in today's world is also mixed with coronavirus. Israel currently has 113 serious coronavirus cases and 344 deaths. The numbers are climbing, and cultural halls and events have been closed, events canceled. Famed Israeli singer and musician Netta Barzilai, known for winning the Eurovision contest in 2018 for Israel, put up an Instagram post expressing concern for her industry. The post was an image of a musical note wrapped with a noose around it to show the death of the culture industry here in Israel. In the caption, she noted booking agents, club owners, instrumentalists, and photographers, all people whose livelihood will be affected by these closures. Against a public outcry that the picture was offensive, she took down the post of the musical note with a noose wrapped around it. I don't usually offer my opinion, but I feel this was her feeling, this was her expression, and I think it's hullabaloo to make such a deal about her Instagram post that she had to take it down. Another artist named Hemi Rudner has come out saying he is not going to pay his taxes until the government begins to support self-employed people in Israel. The singer made a video proposal on Channel 13 here in the Holy Land, calling on other Israelis to follow suit. He says in Western countries, independent workers get an economic safety net as part of their rights, but in Israel, the government acts like there are no faces behind the masks. Lastly, I love this story. Else Lasker Schuler, if you don't know her name, she was one of Germany's greatest poets. She was a Jew. She moved to Jerusalem before Israel was established in the 1930s, and she left behind her impressive network and her poetry as well. She was fleeing Nazi Germany at the time when she moved, and she made it to the Holy Land. She survived, but her art died. Well, thanks to the Jerusalem's National Library of Israel and the German Literature Archive, a new digital exhibition is available so that her work will not be forgotten. It is called Poetic Textures, Else Lasker Schuler Archives, an online platform. Else lived as a poor person after she fled from Germany, but at least now, 70 years after her death, her art will get the recognition it deserves. I relate to this woman because my art, reporting, writing, presenting, telling stories, it's what gets me out of bed in the morning. But the difference is I'm fighting to make it work while I'm here in Israel, and I just can't imagine the torture it must have been for Else to put her poetry to the side. Now, moving on to our special report. It's sort of the biggest culture report ever. We are going to ask a few questions to Jonathan Berger. Now, if you don't know who he is, he's the cultural attaché for the United States Embassy in Israel, and he's been here for 7 years with his family. But guess what? His time here is up, and he's leaving the place he has called home for nearly the last decade. He's leaving this coming August, just 3 weeks from now. I wanted to know, what does a cultural attaché do? And I wanted to hear about his experiences while working here. So I asked him a few questions. We're going to hear his answers.
My name is John Berger, and I'm the cultural attaché at the U.S. Embassy in Israel. I've been here since 2013, 7 years, leaving next month. And I've been here with my wife and my two girls, who are now age 14 and 10. We've really loved being here. It's meant a lot to our family, personally, because we're a Jewish American family. My daughter, in fact, celebrated her bat mitzvah here. So we've had a lot of meaningful personal family experiences. We've had a lot of amazing traditions that we've been able to carry on over the last few years. For example, every Thanksgiving, we've gone to Mitzpe Ramon and spent the weekend at the alpaca farm. It's something that we never would have dreamed about before we got here, but it's something that our family is always going to remember.
What does it mean to be a cultural attaché?
Being a cultural attaché in general, but definitely in Israel, is one of the most meaningful jobs that I think you can have, especially in the Foreign Service, because it's the kind of job where every day you can feel like you're having some kind of impact through the kinds of programs that you're implementing, the kinds of ideas that you can think of and actually put together. One of my favorite things that I get to do is every couple of weeks, and this is pre-corona, of course, because since then we've had to do things online, is I get to go visit a high school in some part of the country. And I've been pretty much all over, and I try to go to places I've never been, but I've been to Bedouin schools in the south, I've been to Jewish schools in the north, religious Jewish schools in the center of the country. I speak to mostly English classes of varying levels. But the point is for me to come and engage with them and get them to learn a little bit more about what it means to be a U.S. diplomat, a little bit more about what America, what the American story is about, and for me to learn a little bit from them as well about what their life is like. A few times a year, we get to bring really interesting cultural groups to Israel as well. We usually time it with different parts of the year. So for example, this past, for Black History Month, we brought a gospel choir from Washington, D.C. And we, using them as the anchor, we started the first American gospel festival in Israel. Hopefully it'll become a tradition. We discovered how many gospel choirs there are all over Israel. Young people and older people and in between really enjoy singing gospel music in Israel. It was a surprise to me too. But bringing this group from Washington was able to open lots of different kinds of doors that you wouldn't have expected. And their presence really filled Israelis, like I said, of all ages, of all stripes, with such good feelings, not just about the United States, but about themselves and the kinds of things that they can achieve, especially through the power of music.
So what led you here? Were you an artist or a writer before this?
I don't have any cultural background for this job. And by the way, you don't need anything like that to take this on. For me, what led me here was my father was a Foreign Service officer. And so you could say it was sort of in the genes, so to speak. It's something that I've always wanted to do. I took a bit of a detour. I worked on Capitol Hill in Congress for about 8 years. But this is something that I always wanted to do. And after taking the Foreign Service exam 5 times and failing 4 of them, I finally made it.
What is the key to achieving permanent peace in the Middle East?
I'm not going to stray too far into policy issues here, but I will say I don't think that there's only one key for peace between Israelis and Palestinians, because otherwise we probably would have seen it by now. But there are definitely lots of several key ingredients. And the one that's probably most important to my heart as a cultural attaché is about educating for peace, really getting people on both sides, Israelis and Palestinians, to understand each other. And there's really been a lack of that and a lack of will and desire to even do that. And until we see that, it's going to be very difficult to get peace here.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. We at the Israel Daily News podcast wish you and your family luck in your next chapter of life. Well, that's it for today's news. I do hope you liked this week's special report. Today is Thursday, July 9th, 2020. We've got a low of 22 and a high of 29 degrees Celsius in Tel Aviv. That's 72 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 84 in the central city. I wanted to follow up from yesterday. I'm feeling well, but I have not yet received my results from the coronavirus test that I took yesterday in North Tel Aviv. It was a drive-through test. It was a very efficiently done test, thanks to Magen David Adom, which is Israel's national emergency service. My roommate, bless her, drove me through the drive-through testing site. I took off my mask. They swabbed my mouth. Then they swabbed deep inside my nostril, and we drove away. I actually received a concerned message from Joseph Ezel in Little Rock, Arkansas. He sent me his well wishes and told me he was feeling impatient about my results because he listened to the podcast yesterday and he knew that I was going in for that test after the show. So thank you so much for caring. I'm also feeling impatient about the results, but thank God I'm feeling well. I should be getting an answer about my COVID-19 status within the next 2 days. All right, well, thanks for getting caught up with me. And don't forget, subscribe to the Israel Daily News podcast on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you're hearing it from. I am everywhere. I would love to get some feedback from listeners. Please get in touch with me using the contact page listed in the show notes. Today, we'll hear from Stitched in Blue, an alternative blues rock band based out of New York City. The band members describe themselves as caring deeply for social justice, with two of the members just graduating from NYU Law School. Mazel tov to you both. 3 out of 5 of the band members say they've already made the journey to the Holy Land, and they loved their time here. Thank you to drummer Evan Schachter, who reached out to me about the new EP that they just dropped last Friday. They made it using money from live shows they performed around New York. Here's my favorite song on the album, Too Much. Have a great and productive day, and a Shabbat Shalom to everyone, and a great weekend to all.
And it's not enough. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? When you know it's wrong, but you go along. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? And we're moving on, and it's way too strong, and it's way too strong, but we're moving on. Close.